6. We surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's not a period there. That's not where the psalm ends. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We showed last week that doesn't end with all the days of our life. That's true whether you're saved or lost. This isn't the end. But for the child of God, we see that all the days of our life can be wonderful. We can live them in Psalm 23, which would make a wonderful life, but it gets better. For the lost person, it gets worse. For the unsaved individual, this is as good as it gets. But for you and I that are saved, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, it is a statement that God will finish his work. The Lord is my shepherd. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He will finish his work. He always does. It's a declaration of victory. We closed last week with seeing that, again, these words speak of heaven. And heaven is a glorious place. Heaven is a real place. From these words, it is a forever dwelling place. It is referred to as the house of the Lord. It's literal. It's reality. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, Paul referred to it as a building of God. Again, reality. A house not made with hands. So it's a building, it's a house. Again, the emphasis is that heaven is a real place. And it is eternal in the heavens. That is, there is no end to it. So heaven is a place. I think many times God's people overlook that. Not that they don't know that, but they overlook that heaven is a place. It's not just a state of being. It is a place. It is a real place. The Bible speaks of it as God's abode. It is a place of God's glory. And all through the Bible, heaven is revealed as a real place. Not merely air, but a real place. Again, not merely a state of being. It is a state of being. But it's not merely a state of being. It has a location. Heaven is a place. A place must have a location. Heaven is real. Reality must have a location. So heaven has a definite location. The lost world, when you talk about heaven, to them it's a fable, it's a dream, it's a product of human imagination. And there's a lot of things that people say about heaven that I would agree is a product of human imagination. But heaven is not a product of human imagination. Heaven is a real place. And the Bible presents it as such over and over again. God the Father is in heaven. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven. That those words, which is in heaven, is a statement that heaven is a real place. It is a place where God the Father is. Jesus came from heaven. Notice in John chapter 3, if you come from somewhere, wherever you came from has to be a real place. In John 3 and verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, again, stating that it is a real place, but he that came down from heaven. Jesus came down from heaven, even so, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He came from heaven, and he's in heaven. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven, and Jesus Christ is in heaven. John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus says, for I came down from heaven. That statement says a lot of things, but one thing it does say is that heaven is a real place. I came down from heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 47. The first man, that's Adam, is of the earth, earthly. The second man, this is Jesus, is the Lord from heaven. Adam came from earth. God took the dust, formed him. Jesus came from heaven. Heaven is a real place. God the Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ came from heaven. Jesus Christ is in heaven. Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. Notice in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Now they didn't see the real place heaven. They were gazing up into the heavens. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. And where will he come from? He'll come from heaven, because it's where he is. As ye have seen him go into heaven. So heaven is a real place. It is a place where God's glory dwells. Again, there are degrees of God's glory, or perhaps we should say there are different facets of God's glory. And here in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, Acts 7, verse 55, but he, this is Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly in heaven and saw the glory of God. And I believe he really did. And I believe that still happens today before someone, a child of God, leaves this life. And saw the glory of God in Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He looked into heaven, a real place. He saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus at the right hand of God. All indicating that, again, heaven is a place. It is a place. Where is heaven? Well, the Bible tells us that it's far off. Notice Isaiah 33. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 17. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. It's a land. It's a real place. It's far off from heaven. Book of Hebrews refers to it as a country. has a city. Those are real places. Those are places that have substance. Those are places that have reality. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country. He goes on to describe that is a heavenly. He's talking about pilgrims and strangers in this life. He's talking about children of God. They desire a better country, something real. And this better country is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That city is in heaven. We see that it's the abode of the bride. It's a real place. Not just a figment of imagination. Heaven is a prepared place. John chapter 14, very familiar verse of Scripture. Now Jesus is speaking to the apostles. He's speaking to his church. And there is a very distinct application to the Lord's church, but there is also a wider application to all children of God. He said, in my Father's house, okay, that's something that's real, a house. In my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. It's large. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go. Now again, Acts 1 verse 11, where did he go? He ascended back up into heaven. He says, I go. The reason I'm going is to prepare a place for you. Implying that it's not completely prepared. I go to prepare a place that's again substance, that's reality. Heaven is a prepared place. It is a Jesus prepared place. Again, God created the universe in 6 days by speaking. Heaven is still, Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place. Earth and heaven, there is no comparison. None. None whatsoever. Everything is different about heaven. The sad thing is many of God's people in their imagination of heaven try to make it like earth. Why would you want to do that? I don't understand. I'm trying to get out of this place. Why do you want to go to a place that's like it or that's similar to it? That is an indication that people have their stakes too deep in this earth. Notice also Matthew 25, verse 34. You know, people get all caught up, will we know each other in heaven? I believe we will, and there's nothing wrong with being curious. But don't get stuck there, because let me tell you, that's not the main thing about heaven. In Matthew 25, verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. A kingdom is reality. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. A kingdom, reality, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a very specific place. So we must not get caught in the mindset that heaven is just a wonderful state of being. It is a wonderful state of being, but it's much more than that. And we could go to many other scriptures as well, but we, we've made our point that the Word of God presents heaven as a real place, a place with a definite locality. It is a building. It is a house. It's a country. It's a city. All of those have locality. They have to have a specific locality. Heaven is a place that is in sharp contrast to the earth. The earth is a place, but it is an unstable place. It is an insecure place. It is a place where everything is fleeting, deteriorating. On the other hand, heaven is also a place. But unlike earth, it's stable. Nothing gets old in heaven. Nothing deteriorates in heaven. That's hard for you and I to imagine. Everything is secure in heaven. There are no threats in heaven. There are no dangers in heaven. Everything is secure. There are no worries in heaven. And again, people say, you know, Grandma's looking down on us and she's not pleased with what she sees. Well, wouldn't that ruin heaven? And once again, I think people are trying to make heaven like earth. And trying to scare them that Grandma's looking down on. What you ought to be scared of is the Lord's looking down. Don't worry about Grandma. Heaven, unlike earth, is eternal. Notice Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 14. For here we have no continuing city. That's true. No matter where you go. No matter where you go on earth, you have no continuance. It's going to come to an end. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Talking, of course, about heaven. Earth is a place where there are thieves, where treasures are lost. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But heaven is just the opposite. We see in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven. Again, it's a real place. In heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Heaven is a place. It is a place quite unlike earth. It is a place of absolute safety. Absolute safety from anything you can imagine. Anything that you can imagine that can happen to you. Heaven is a place of absolute safety. Again, there are no threats in heaven. There is nothing that can mar the joy of heaven. Here, you and I, we can be enjoying the Lord, and either we ourselves will mar it, or someone else will mar it, or we'll allow a circumstance to mar it. It's always getting marred. It's always being interrupted. But not there. No interruptions. It is a place beyond imagination. We ought to think about heaven. But it's really kind of hard to think about because we've never seen anything like it. We haven't even seen anything close. We get tastes of heaven. Every church service should be a taste, but it's just a very, 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 very small taste, and it's a very imperfect picture. It is an incomparable place. Again, as we've said many times, in order to understand, and this is why people do it many times, in order to understand what heaven's like, they try to compare it. It's incomparable. There's nothing you can compare. It's the complete opposite of everything about this life. We read in the Psalms, all the days of my life. And again, those were wonderful days. But there's no comparison between all the days of my life and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heaven is a real place where there is God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. There are the angels. There are the saints of God, those who have been redeemed. It is a place. It is a place that we anticipate. And the Psalm 23 life is a life of assurance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's assurance. But it's also a life of anticipation. I will. I will. We anticipate heaven. Death is the key to getting there, or Christ returning. We do not fear death because we have this assurance, we have this anticipation. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, we may not look forward to the way that we may have to die. But death itself cannot harm us.
That's right.
It cannot harm us. The Berea songbook, there's a song in that book that's 'Tis Sweet to Die. And we sang it a lot at Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood. And there was one lady who the first 20 times we sang it, thereabout, we get very disturbed. And that is not a good song, she would say. How can it be sweet to die? But she finally grasped the truth. It is sweet to die when you know I will dwell in the house of the Lord. In fact, we've got it backwards today. Ecclesiastes 3 says that this would apply, of course, to a child of God, that the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. That's true. Yet we celebrate birth and we mourn death. We kind of have it backwards. Day of death is the best day of your life if you're saved. There's no better day. Other than maybe the day you were saved. The day of death is a wonderful, wonderful day for the child of God. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for the assurance that you give us in this life. We thank you, Lord, that we can experience to some degree the truths that are presented here in this 23rd Psalm. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for saving our soul. We do pray that you would save the lost here today. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.